Did you know we've moved? Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School with the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, the Jean-Claude Van Damme Retrospective Part 2. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week for our Jean-Claude Van Damme Retrospective Part 2, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy, people. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmoviesdotnet. So let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got D-Ren.
Stocko.
We've got Kebo Trek.
Alonzi.
We've got Carp.
Ayo.
And we've got C-Money. Awesome. All right, so we ended off on Double Impact last time. Let's get into another stinker, another giant pile of excrement. This is Universal Soldier.
It was a top secret government project.
Pack 'em in ice, all of them.
Designed to create the perfect soldier.
No man would ever again have to die in the service of his country.
Cryogenically preserved.
Okay, guys. Memory clearance.
Genetically enhanced.
How's the picture?
Pretty ugly.
Very funny. Very funny.
Programmed to obey.
We're at the tower.
Okay, here we go.
Who are these guys?
30 hostages held inside the power station at the base of the structure.
I said shut up!
We're inside. Begin phase two.
This marks the third successful mission for the Universal Soldier.
But there was something they didn't count on.
He's not responding. GR-44, do you read me?
At the end of the mission, he became completely unresponsive.
Inside the machine is a man.
Do you really think the Pentagon would allow the regeneration of dead soldiers?
Stop the girl. Shoot if you have to.
And all it takes...
Veronica Roberts, TNA.
...is one memory...
You didn't do anything!
To awaken him.
Let's go! Hit it!
Traitor. Universal Soldier.
What the hell did they do to you?
Don't know. But I'm going to find out.
One can't be controlled.
Buckle up.
The other... cannot be stopped.
This mission has been canceled.
I'm giving the orders from now on.
I'm gonna teach them all.
Are we having fun yet?
The ultimate weapons of the future have declared war on each other.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren.
Universal Soldier.
Stop. That is an order.
All right, so this was released in 1992, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, Ali Walker, Edo Ross. Budget of $23 million, domestic box office of $36 million. My quick thoughts here. The music was absolutely terrible, in my opinion. The main theme, credits, just feels like they took some generic song and put it to the movie. The one good thing I liked about this movie is Dolph Lundgren. I thought he did a great job as the antagonist here, keeping up with Van Damme throughout a lot of the action scenes. Ali Walker was definitely a very annoying leading lady. Was not a fan of her in this role. The fact that Universal Soldiers are complete cyborgs, they no-sell everything, and they have no emotion, and then it morphs into, like, they feel pain, they're having feelings, they're completely normal after an hour and a half. To me, that makes no sense. Soldiers look like, you know, if Terminator and Borg from Star Trek had a baby. Van Damme's very interesting in this. Cool to see him in a role that, you know, he didn't dominate martial arts. He did martial arts, but it wasn't dominated in this movie. There's more gunfighting, so that was a bit interesting. Not enough action, way too much downtime. They're in, like, gas stations, hotels, and their parents' house. I found that was dragged on. To me, if I could sum up the movie in one sentence, it's Van Damme's attempt at replicating Terminator. And critics also called it a T2 clone as well. So I would give it 6 grenades out of 10. Let's start with C-Money on this one.
Yeah, so this movie, I actually liked it for the most part. I know, like what you said about there being a lot of downtime, it's true, but I think this one was less about, like you said, the martial arts aspect of it and more about the actual, well, for what story there was. The idea to me about, you know, dead soldiers being reanimated, I thought was actually pretty cool at the time. I thought it was a really unique idea, and the fact that I would probably disagree in the fact that they really start to have a lot of feelings and stuff. I think it's more just like they say in the movie where they're starting to remember their past life, which to me sounded like it was something that was feasible when you're reanimating someone, so to speak. It's the same thing that you see in zombie movies and stuff like that. They're always trying to reach to that other side that's still, you know, still with that person. So I actually liked the movie. I thought, like you said, Lundgren was amazing in the role. Van Damme didn't have to do a lot of talking because he was basically a robot. I think it kind of met his acting experience a little bit too.
Yeah.
But I thought for the most part, it was really well done. And I loved the scene with Dolph Lundgren in the grocery store. Just kind of the way how you know messed up he was. It shows how much Vietnam kind of messed with him, which I thought was really cool. So I'd give it maybe a 6.5 or 7 out of 10.
Carb, let's throw this one to you, man.
Yeah, I also disagree with you. I liked Universal Soldier 1. Universal really? Soldier 2, on the other hand, was a steaming pile of crap. Goldberg and Michael J. White just didn't work. Dolph Lundgren was an awesome bad guy. There are down parts.
You mean Romeo.
Yeah.
Goldberg is Romeo.
Yeah, exactly. But generally, I like this film for the concept, I guess the reanimated soldier or attempt at bringing back Vietnam vet as an unstoppable killing machine I liked. So for me, this is a 7 ear necklace out of 10.
All right, D-Ren, let's throw this to you.
Sure. I disagree with you too, Keith.
What the fuck?
I mean, Mr. Old School.
Who's Keith? Yeah,
yeah, who's Keith? I thought the action sequences were very well done. Like, you know, first of all, that Hoover Dam sequence where they're rappelling down the dam was pretty awesome. And also the bus chase scene, just beautifully shot. I think it must have been shot in Nevada or Arizona. It was just gorgeous. And finally, that fight scene at the end with Dolph Lundgren, where he's on those muscle enhancers. It was a very enjoyable fight. And speaking of Dolph...
Yeah, it was a good fight scene.
Speaking of Dolph Lundgren... Just he's so charismatic as the villain. And yeah, I kind of agree with you. They kind of revert back to humans very quickly. I found that a little annoying. Just a couple other things. Again, I feel like this is like a poor man's Terminator. I think that's the best way to summarize it. And what was with the reporter? The reporters, they couldn't drive a car. They just like flip it over completely.
Like a second in the running away, they flipped the car.
Yeah, and I just had a couple other like weird things. Like why was there such poor security outside their command center? It's supposed to be this.
Like a reporter just sneaks up. But honestly, I think that's the shortest car chase ever.
I know, for sure. And just another annoying thing too was the tracking devices. And like they were saying, oh, he's going from this room to this room, but why couldn't they see him? Did they remove it at that point? The tracking device where he's under the bed, or they? No, he didn't remove it yet. Like he was going through the walls, and they were like, oh, he's going to this room. He's in the next room, but when he's under the bed, they don't know where he is. That was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Overall, I give this not one of his best. It's not one of his worst. I give this. I have 7 severed ears on a string out of 10.
All right. Kev Botrek, let's end with you.
Exactly what I said.
Yeah, I wrote that down, so I was like, how about 7 bags of ice out of 10?
There you go. Kev Botrek, let's end with you.
I'm also going to disagree with you, Mr. Old
School. Everybody disagrees with me here.
No, I actually haven't seen it in a long time, so I can't really say.
All right. I don't think you're going to disagree with me on this one. This was most definitely a piece of shit. This is it's a pretty funny part of it. We're talking about Street Fighter, of course. And this is his speech to his troops after he's told that they're supposed to just give up and go home instead of fighting Bison. So let's play this quickly.
You're joking.
Do we think we can deal with General Bison?
You're instructed to call off the assault, contact him, request an extension of his deadline. We are prepared to pay the ransom demand.
$20 billion? What will prevent him from taking more hostages next month and asking for $50 billion? $100 billion?
Colonel, have you lost your mind?
No. You've lost your balls.
Colonel Guile, deliver these instructions to your troops, and then consider yourself relieved of your command.
Troopers, I just received new orders. Our superiors say the war is canceled. We can all go home. Bison is getting paid off for his crimes, and our friends who have died here will have died for nothing. But we can all go home. Meanwhile, ideals like peace, freedom, and justice, they get packed up. But we can all go home. Well, I'm not going home. I'm gonna get on my boat, and I'm going upriver, and I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard that the next Bison wannabe is gonna feel it. Now, who wants to go home? And who wants to go with me?
Sign up for the United Nations now, thanks to Jean-Claude Van Damme. My thoughts on Street Fighter very quickly. It's a complete cheese fest. There's zero attempt to add any backstory to any of the characters. They just kind of announced them by name during the beginning of the movie. The attempt to write a story that could work in the real world with having like Bison as a warlord in a country and the UN led by Guile to attempt to take him out. But I think it kind of falls flat on its face. You know, decent performances by Van Damme here. And Raul Julia, who plays Bison, is pretty good. But yeah, apart from that, this is a video game cheese fest. Parts like the video game controller bombing, the blank kind of Hulk ripoff, Ken and Ryu are arms dealers. Apart from Kylie Minogue being in this movie, there's not very much good. I would give it 5. Bison, I don't know. I don't even know what to give it. I just give it 5. That's it. Kebba Trek, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, this is just 90s cheese. There really isn't much good you can say about the movie. You mentioned all the characters. It just felt like, okay, we're going to put every character from the video games into the movie, even if it makes no sense. So it was just like, let's see how many we can cram in. And like you said, there wasn't much backstory for the characters. Some of them just being there didn't make any sense. The movie was just cheesy. And I mean, to this day, we see them still having trouble adapting video games. And if I will say something, I do
Resident
like...
Evil.
No. So, yeah. Why you got to mention that? I will say that I like that they tried to do something different rather than like just having a tournament. Like they at least,
yeah, it's true.
They at least tried. Obviously, they completely failed at it, but they at least tried to do something different. But I mean, it's a terrible story. I wasn't particularly fond of any of the acting. The only good thing I guess I can say is that Ming-Na looked hot as Chun-Li. But other than that, it's just, it's not.
Think about Kylie Minogue.
Oh yeah, she looked good too as Cammy, but 90s cheese. Coupled that with a video game movie back then. I mean, like we had Mario, we had stuff like that, Double Dragon. I know it's a bit before, but they really had a lot of trouble making video game movies back then. And they still do today, to be fair. So it's a trend that's continued for 15, 20 years.
Resident Evil.
No, but no, that's, you know, Oscar-winning films, so you can't say anything bad there. But if I have to give it a rating on 10, I'd give it 4 Hadoukens on 10.
Four Hadoukens. Why didn't I think of Hadouken? This movie actually made $100 million, though. It's pretty surprising, actually, if you think about it. With a budget of $35, it made money. So that's good. D-Ren, let's throw this to you now. Let's get your thoughts on Street Fighter.
Ugh, that's all I can say. No.
All right, Carb, let's get on.
Yeah, this was like one of, even I'm just trying to think of any movie, and this was like one of the worst movies for the one-liners. I was just cringing at some of them. And this is the fourth movie in our retrospectives that we talk about where he disobeys the chain of command. It's some sort of Van Damme fetish. Yeah, just a lot of ridiculousness. The joystick, I don't know why they implemented the Street Fighter joystick in the game just for promotional. I did think a couple positives, they're not too many. I thought Raul Julia's performance was really good, like over the top and charismatic. He plays a real psychopath. I love the part where he has his own money. So that was pretty cool. The other positive thing I can mention is I did like the last, not the fight scene, but when they were storming the temple with the gun battles, I thought that was really well done. So I have to applaud them for that. But just, yeah, it kind of suffers from the, I would call it the man with iron fist syndrome, and the fact that they didn't have, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was the star, but he wasn't showcased. It was kind of like a three showcase between Chun-Li and her group, the Ken and Ryu, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme. So there's no lead story. So it kind of suffered from like man with iron fist type thing. And it wasn't a lot of fun for me. And it was just a lot of like plot holes. Like, why would Balrog put on his gloves after, just for, I guess, promotional purposes? I mean, you do more damage.
Yeah, the whole thing's like.
Or when they were trying to assassinate Jean-Claude Van Damme, the guy was a waiter. Why didn't he just go behind him and stab him? Instead, I'll just go to the other end of the table, jump on the table and yell. So that stuff like that. And also like Chun-Li, when she was trying to blow up General Bison, why did she record a YouTube video type thing and like say, I'm going to destroy you. And then, oh, we have time to escape before the bus comes in. So I thought that was ridiculous. So I'm going to give this 1.5 Tiger Knees out of 10.
All right, Cart, let's throw this to you.
This movie is complete and utter crap. Guile is like as American character as it can be. And he's not even the main focus of a Street Fighter story. If anything, it should have been about Ryu and Ken and not, you know, Colonel Guile going after Bison. The only saving grace in this film was this was one of Raul Julia's last performances. And he did do a good job as Bison. For me, it's 2 flash kicks out of 10.
One thing, you know, I'm not a Street Fighter expert, so maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong here. But wasn't Guile more about like, oh, just pack up and go home and don't fight the good fight? And in this movie, it's the complete opposite.
No, well, okay, because here, basically from Wikipedia, Guile first appears in Street Fighter 2 as one of the 8 selectable characters. Blah, blah. Guile leaves his country and family to enter the World Warrior Tournament to avenge the death of his friend Charlie, who was killed by Bison, the tournament sponsor, sometime before the event of this game. So
Charlie was in the movie, though. He was the guy who turned to Blanka.
Yeah, which is stupid, because then they turned 2 characters into 1. And Blanka looked terrible. I mean, this movie was
Blanka was horrible.
Bad. Dalsim was a doctor, and oh my god, it was so like, as a Street Fighter fan from when this came out, I was so angry. Like, if I could have reached in and strangled the director, I would have been happy. It was so bad.
Right. Yeah, C-Money, let's end this on you, man.
So, actually, funny kind of story about this one. When I was 13, I was going to go see this with Barry, and for whatever reason, at LaSalle Theater, they actually had a 14 and up rule, which they didn't let us in to see the movie, but they let us go in to see Anaconda with Ice Cube and Jennifer Lopez. Wow. So I've never actually seen Street Fighter, but I have seen.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, well, that's it. So like, I heard the reviews and everything, so it didn't really be a big, you know, issue whatsoever that I missed it. I have seen, you know, snippets here and there, but stuff like, I remember seeing the flash kick. And I thought to myself, that was the slowest, most wired-supported flash kick I've ever seen. Like, just you couldn't just spin the guy in a circle. It actually looks like he kind of stops midway and then continues his kick. It just looks terrible in the movie. So kind of glad I didn't see it. I'd give this, because I didn't get to see it, 1 Bison head stop, you know, 10.
Oh, Mr. Old School, I just have a question for the panel. Did anyone feel cheated with the Ryu and Vega? Like, they had this buildup of them fighting and walking to the ring and, like, doing...
Yeah, and then they don't like, fight. Fuck it, no.
Did anyone feel
cheated? Yeah, that was stupid. They did fight at the end, but still, it was like, why do you do all that and then fucking, like, tease it?
5 minutes of that, anyway.
All right. So we had a big run of cheese there. Well, some people disagree with me on the other ones, but this one, I don't think you would disagree with me. It's a very different kind of movie. It's a JCVD. And this one, you know, it kind of breaks the fourth wall and does a bunch of stuff. So we don't really have a trailer that we can play because a lot of it's in French. But, you know, for the American audience, it's subtitled. So I'll just give my quick thoughts. You know, the opening credits, there's a boy that picks up a flower. It's like an animation. There's a boy that picks up a flower, and then you see like a shadow of JCBD walking in, who roundhouse kicks the boy and then boots the flower up, and like that turns into the company logo. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, it's a mix of events of real look at his life. It's obviously a story, so it's not like a biopic or nothing, but you know, he talks about his life in it. And the main idea, if you haven't seen it, is that there's like a bank robbery, and you know, he's implicated. He's kind of walks into it, and the main idea is like, oh, he's an action star, he should be able to save everybody, when in real life it doesn't work like that. You can't just go and give, you know, spinning kicks to everybody and save the day. So, but you know, at the same time, they talk about, you know, like his career abusing drugs and his movie career and just like inside stuff to the movie industry, which is kind of cool, where he's talking with his like agent trying to get parts in films. There's like a 6-minute monologue of him just talking, breaking the fourth wall, which is really cool. It's a very different movie. You know, if you've seen Van Damme stuff, it's nothing like it. You know, even critics said that he had the second best performance of the year behind Heath Ledger. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but he did very much bring his acting chops up a notch with this movie. Let's start with Keb Trek on this.
Yeah, I was when I saw this in the theater back when it came out, I was surprised how much I liked it. It's just, it's an interesting concept. It's one of the first movies to really break that fourth wall, so it was good to see that. I maybe enjoyed it for a slightly different reason than you did. Like, I had fun with the movie. There was the scene when I think it was it from Hard Target? I think it was from Hard Target where he
kicks the cigarette.
Like he kicks the cigarette out of one of the guy's mouth, and then one of the other guys wants to try it, and like you knew what was gonna happen, but like I was laughing beforehand. Like it was just so funny to me. He had that dialogue. It's what, probably like 3-minute dialogue. I know you really enjoyed the acting. I enjoyed it because I found it funny.
You laughed. Yeah. He was getting emotional and you start laughing. It's like, what the fuck?
So maybe I wasn't enjoying it for the right way, but, you know, I did enjoy it. I think this is probably the best movie he's made, not counting maybe The Expendables, because he's more, you know, a piece of that rather than the main star. But I think this probably was the best movie he made in the last 15 years or so. So if I had to rate it, I would give it 8.5. Cigarette roundhouses to the face.
All right, D-Ren, let's throw this to you now. Let's get your thoughts.
Okay, I might have a different opinion. I love the kind of the beginning of the movie where he was running through a war battle scenes and like taking out. It was obviously a set because like at one point you see him throw a roundhouse kick and it missed him by like 2 feet, but it was done on purpose because just to show that it was a set. So I love that opening. Yeah, it was. It did a good job of parodying JCVD. I mean, there's some fiction elements to the thing, like with the robbery and everything. And you know, I don't know if he has these big money problems or child custody battles, but yeah, the cigarette bit was really funny. Yeah, I was just cracking up at it. Also, the part two with the when he was in the child custody hearings. I mean, when they were talking about like his movies in court, and like they were like saying, you know, strangulation.
The way he does, and they keep
running
going
over a guy, and then he's like, he's trying to defend him. These movies have heart. I thought that was really funny. Yeah,
there were a lot of funny parts in there.
And, you know, just as part of the movie was, like, just, like, you kind of felt sad. Like when the taxi driver said to him he's better on screen than in person, I was like, wow.
And even that was a funny role where she was going off.
Oh, yeah. Or the guy's talking about – I watched it without subtitles, so it might have been difficult. The guy's talking about, like, how he's not, like, a great star, and then they want to take a picture with him. I thought that was pretty poignant. But – that monologue, I loved it. And I agree with you, Mr. Old School. That was a really emotional scene, and I thought it was best acting performance by far. I just watched it, but then I just read the translation of what he was talking about. I thought it was really cool. With the different point of view and the way the pacing went with the movie, I thought the acting was amazing, but just the story, it was kind of like, I want to say staccato, but you know, it's a piano term, like very choppy, and I just... It didn't flow for me, so I'm going to give this 5, breaking down the fourth wall, out of 10.
All right, Carl, yeah, let's throw this one to you.
Yeah, I really liked it. The opening one shot was actually like a comment because apparently he's never able to really do anything in one shot. So that was a take on that where it was just the one long shot of the action scene. The 6 or 8 minute dialogue was phenomenal. That's the best acting I've ever seen from JCVD. You know, it was emotional at parts. It felt more real than his action flicks. So I really liked it for what it was. Apparently that taxi scene was completely improvised as well.
Yeah, I think about 30% of the movie was improvised from what I read.
I was really impressed. Even his monologue, apparently pretty much nobody was on set but him and the cameraman. So that's impressive. For me, it's a 8 heart-wrenching monologues out of 10.
All right, let's end this with C-Money. Let's get your thoughts on JCVD.
Yeah, so what I remember about this movie that I liked was that, you know, I don't recall this movie being heavily hyped beforehand, before release, but it got a lot of kudos after the fact, whereas a lot of his movies are so overly hyped and everyone kind of craps on them later on for his bad acting ability. And what I liked with this one is it really just spoke to his entire career, kind of the transition he had to go through. Obviously, some of it's comical, but like the part I think I remember him talking about how even in the movie he's talking about how Steven Seagal takes a role from him.
So because he cuts his ponytail or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like it's comical, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure that kind of stuff happened back then with all those guys, you know, Schwarzenegger and all those guys are battling each other for those big roles. So it kind of shows him being a little bit outcast from the rest of that group. He was obviously a main star, but he wasn't the biggest star. And so it was well done. The monologue, like everyone says, I thought that was some of the most phenomenal true acting I've ever seen from someone like him. And I remember the first time I had actually watched it, I remember pausing and rewinding just to see that part right away again. I didn't even finish the movie straight and then go back. So I just thought it was so well done. And I'm sure there was a lot of truth. Like, he felt really passionate about that scene in particular. So overall, I'd give this a solid 8 out of 10 classic RVD roundhouse kicks.
All right, let's go to honorable mentions now. There's probably a lot of movies we haven't mentioned, so let's just blur it out, some movies and quick thoughts of stuff we haven't covered. Hard Target. Yeah.
You definitely got to mention that. I think
Hard Target's one. Cyborg, to me,
yeah,
is,
definitely.
That's a quintessential JCVD movie. The bad guy is fucking amazing in it. I love the post-apocalyptic part of it. It's just, like, you got to see Cyborg if you like Van Damme.
Sudden Death.
How about Nowhere to Run?
It was okay at best, Nowhere to Run.
Time Cop.
Time Cop, yeah. Time Cop was classic.
It was, again, I think it was one of those movies where they didn't really think about the plot. It's like, okay, we have a cool story. Let's go with this. And even though it makes no sense, whatever, we'll go with it because we have a cool story.
Anything else?
What was the clone movie one where he was just getting beaten the entire movie by his creator?
Isn't that called, like, Legionnaire or something?
No. It was one... I remember this old school, you specifically mentioned this to me about how he was like a clone, a replicant, or replica, or something. I think that was the name of it.
Yeah, it's Replicant.
Replicant. And he's like, you're telling me this scene where he basically doesn't do what his creator kind of wanted him to do, and he's just getting his, like, literally getting his ass kicked by his creator over and over again. It's just like one of the most ridiculous movies.
We're forgetting probably the best one, Double Team.
God.
I still remember this. I still remember the scene.
Kicked a tiger. I mean,
and I still remember the scene where they're falling out of a plane, and Dennis Rodman activates like a parachute, but it's a basketball that encloses both of them.
It's ridiculous.
I guess are we going to be mentioning the Expendables or?
Yeah, well, I figured quick honorable mention because you know we did cover it in depth.
Yeah, so. And I guess it's more of.
A part role.
Yeah, no, he's not starring in it, so
he's like below supporting on that, I find.
But
you did a great job.
He's a great bad guy in it, though.
Yeah, like, and you can tell he had
kicking
fun.
Kicking the knife into Hemsworth's chest was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And you can tell he had a lot of fun while filming it, which I think all the people in the Expendables do, so.
Yeah.
Which one, I'm surprised C-Money hasn't mentioned Van Damme as Master Croc in Kung Fu Panda 2.
He's legendary in that. Best voice acting ever. He's in it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's one of his highest rated films, by the way.
What about the Mortal Kombat ripoff of The Quest?
The fights were good in The Quest. Everything else about The Quest was completely terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anything else, guys?
I think we covered pretty much all his most of his notable movies.
I've heard good things about the straight-to-video Universal Soldiers, so I'm probably going to give them a shot at some point.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's like him. They in the last one, Universal Soldier: Day of Reckoning. It's him. Ludren's back. They have this MMA fighter, Andre Arlovsky, and Scott Adkins, who's a phenomenal martial artist. He's in it too.
Let's talk quickly about this bitter rivalry everybody knows about. It's Van Damme against Seagal. You know, they come from two different martial art backgrounds, but, you know, at the time they were pretty much two of the biggest stars. I have a quick clip where we're going to play that rates the two. And then once we get back, I want to get your thoughts on the two, maybe stuff that wasn't covered in the clip. Also, which one would you rate higher? Let's play the clip and get your thoughts.
It's the master versus the muscles from Brussels. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we'll be pitting Steven Seagal against Jean-Claude Van Damme to see who is the greater action star.
They call me Noxokal, the White Warrior.
Round 1, Legacy. In the first corner, sporting a totally not gay ponytail is Steven Seagal. He has given us such romps as Under Siege, Marked for Death, Above the Law, Out for Justice, and Hard to Kill.
It's still not fair, that's right. Okay, how about this? I'll get down on my knees.
He is famous for frequently playing a cop, as well as rarely raising his voice.
Come get some.
In the other corner is Jean-Claude Van Damme. He has appeared in such popular films as Bloodsport, Hard Target, Kickboxer, Double Impact, Universal Soldier, and Time Cop. He has also played cops, but made it big playing underdogs in brutal fighting tournaments. Over the years, Van Damme has helped pull in over $1 billion at the box office, almost doubling that of Seagal.
What do you think about that?
They have about the same amount of good and horrible movies under their belts, and while we'd gladly love to award a tie going in, Van Damme slightly edges out his opponent for having been a more bankable actor and having a cooler name. Winner, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
Round 2, Combat. Steven Seagal has a 7th dan in Aikido. Jean-Claude Van Damme is proficient in Shokotan Karate, Muay Thai, Kickboxing, and Taekwondo. When it comes to the fight, Steven Seagal has no issues playing dirty. He'll wrap a pool ball in a cloth and use it to knock your teeth out.
You knock my teeth out!
Strike you with a broken pool cue, or just plain punch you in the junk. He is all about trauma, neutralizing his opponent and turning their physical strength into a weakness. Meanwhile, Van Damme is focused on the kicks and likes to randomly drop into the splits during a heated exchange. Unfortunately, his superior strength would be used against him by Seagal. When the dust clears, Seagal is still standing.
Do you guys agree with that? Do you think Seagal and Van Damme, if they fought, that he would take Van Damme out?
Yeah. The Aikido that Seagal knows, unless he catches him with a spinning roundhouse, he even goes close to Seagal, Seagal's going to break his legs and arms.
And we're not talking about like 2000 Seagal where he gained all the weight. We're talking about both in their prime.
In their prime, yeah, it's Seagal. To me.
Yeah. Kebo Chuck, who do you think would win?
Yeah, it would definitely be Seagal.
C-Money, you agree?
Yeah, probably one-on-one fight. I think sadly Seagal would win. I just think he's a bigger prick.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get with the rest of the clip.
Winner, Steven Seagal. Round 3, physique and agility. A hulking man of 6'4", Seagal has unfortunately become known in recent years for his ever-increasing circumference.
I don't think he can drop us off, badass.
You're right, but I'll get an A for effort.
Forgetting this and focusing on the earlier years, we can see that both actors make heavy use of stunt doubles. However, look at the way Seagal runs. Maybe some more stunt double action wouldn't have been such a bad thing.
Oh. Yeah, he's got like this chicken run. I don't know. What's with that?
Overall, Van Damme is slightly more agile and capable of incredible physical movements, including his trademark 360-degree spin kick. After all, he did study ballet.
Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits no problem.
Unfortunately, Seagal simply can't keep up, as he depends almost entirely on his arms and face to do the talking.
I said turn him loose.
Van Damme gets the point because he can do this. Tell me that doesn't hurt to watch. Winner, Van Damme. So good today. Number 4, screen persona. Both of these actors are less than impressive when scenes require real acting.
You want some blow? Yeah, I want some blow. Put your hands where I can see them or I'm going to blow your head off.
However, Seagal fills the void with his hardcore ego and his own brand of charisma. This includes quite a bit of trash talking through a quiet yet husky voice.
He told Richie to get a lawyer. I'm turning himself in. If not, I'm going to kill him.
This led to him being hailed as the most gritty and realistic action star during his heyday. On the other hand, Van Damme comes off as a bit too polished and well-groomed, despite having the mandatory foreign accent that the genre requires.
I mean, I figured you gotta be French or something because of your accent.
What accent?
Winner, Steven Seagal.
How's the action, boys? Mind if I play?
Round 5, later career and comeback. These two men were both once very bankable actors. Now, they're either added attractions or headed direct to home video. Seagal has adjusted to a calmer and more Buddhist lifestyle while teaching martial arts and working as a deputy sheriff in Louisiana. When cast, he takes smaller parts, like playing the samurai sword-wielding villain in Machete. Meanwhile, Van Damme failed to enter the world of fashion with a line of denim clothing.
My pants froze. And froze hard. So tight.
However, he has starred in the well-received self-titled JCVD, several Universal Soldier sequels, provided the voice of Master Croc in Kung Fu Panda 2, and played the bad guy in The Expendables 2. Seagal may have a more interesting personal life, but Van Damme edges him out for staying slightly more relevant on cinema. Maybe we're being overly optimistic, but we sense a career comeback as Van Damme appears able to still perform those awesome spin kicks. Winner, Van Damme.
Any other new business?
Verdict. Sorry, Steven Seagal fans. While the star wins in combat and screen persona, he's left wincing in respect of Jean-Claude Van Damme, who claimed the victory 3-2.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent. To the blood bank.
All right, let's start with C-Money on this. Who would you give it to if you'd be able to rate the two? Do you prefer Seagal? You prefer Van Damme? Let's get your thoughts quick.
I definitely have to go across the board with Van Damme. Seagal definitely had some of his great movies. I think Marked for Death was one of my favorite movies of his. But as a whole, I just always found him very fake. He came off as being a lot more tough than he thinks he is. He's got a huge ego. And I like his knife work that he does in some of the movies, but then it seems to be his only thing. I guess you can make the same argument for The Roundhouse with Van Damme, but I just think Van Damme is a more versatile actor, more likable as a person. You know, just in from what I've seen on TV and stuff, and like they were talking about comeback quality, Van Damme definitely takes that without question.
Hey, Carp, speaking about the two here, which one would you prefer, Van Damme or Seagal?
Yeah, I'm more of a JCVD fan in the end, but Seagal does have a much higher kill count movie-wise. He's almost 200 more kills for his movies. Seagal, like, I like them separately for their own individual things, but I more so gravitate towards JCVD's action flicks than I do Seagal's. But I mean, I'll give Seagal some, like Marked for Death, Hard to Kill, Out for Justice, The First Under Siege. Those are awesome flicks. So each guy's had their top five. And hell, if you ever have a chance, give them both a shot.
Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts on the two. Which one do you prefer?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with like the rest of the guys. I definitely prefer Jean-Claude Van Damme more. I was looking at the Steven Seagal's movies on IMDb, and there's only few I can really remember, like the Under Siege movies, Hard to Kill, stuff like that. Where Van Damme, like, I find his movies are much more known, and I guess I just enjoy them more. So I definitely go Van Damme.
You think we'll ever see the two together in a movie? You think they'll ever say, just let bygones be bygones, and just for the box office, actually do a movie?
No, I Van Damme, I think, would. Because from what I was reading for the feud, it's more one way. Like, it's more Seagal that hates Van Damme, not Van Damme that hates Seagal. So I think it's going to be kind of like the Guns N' Roses situation, where it's one of them that's preventing the two from coming together in a movie.
Seagal just seems like that. I think C-Money said it bad. Just a prick. And he's one of those guys. He won't let bygones be bygones. Just be a stubborn bastard and won't do it. All right. So anything else? Any other business we didn't talk about? But we talked about, my goodness, we had a good 2 hours on Van Damme here. So I guess we'll get our closing thoughts. Just throw it to anybody.
Yeah, like I said in the first part of the podcast we did, with Stallone and Schwarzenegger, he was part of that quintessential action core star. And what I noticed was he kind of fell off before they did. Like, whereas Schwarzenegger and Stallone were kind of able to keep things going a bit longer. By the late 90s, he had really fell off. I was looking at his IMDb, and he really hasn't had a hit in probably about 15 years. Like, you look between 1988 and 1993... You know, he made Bloodsport, Cyborg, Kickboxer, Lionheart, Double Impact, Universal Soldier, Nowhere to Run, and Hard Target. And you look after that, there's really not that many success stories. So I think he falls into the category of being an actor that, like Stallone said, you know, Batman killed the action star. And I think he was one of the first casualties.
Carp, would you agree with that? Would you agree that he was one of the first casualties? And of the three big action stars, he's pretty much the least bankable?
Yeah. Look at the numbers that Schwarzenegger and Stallone have put up over the years. And, like, they're starting their comeback now where JCVD is more or less straight to video. So, yeah, he was one of the first. Seagal was pretty much, like, there's your A-class guys, like Stallone, Schwarzenegger, and then there's your B-class guys, like Stallone and Seagal. And those two fell off well before Stallone and Schwarzenegger. But still, like, you know, with all his drug problems and his divorce and all that other stuff, it's, like, as much as everybody wants to get into Hollywood, it's not for everyone. And I don't think it was really for him for a bit. Like, all this bad shit happened to him, so.
We're going to end this one with C-Money. Do you think, you know, JCVD can make a comeback? Do you think he's more going to be in the supporting roles? Is he done as an actor? Let's get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sadly, he's one of those guys who I think got, you know, due to circumstances in his life and due to the fact that there were so many new stars coming out and even the existing ones were well more well-known than him. I think he was one of the early casualties. I think he's made a little bit of a comeback as of recent, and as a personal fan, I'd like to see him at least be able to push out, you know, another two or three movies without having to do all the excessive roundhouse kicks, just actually focus in on his whatever acting he's learned over the years. I know one of the reasons, and this is going to sound really weird for those who don't know this, but one of the reasons why he kind of got out of movies was because he actually became a clothes designer. He was into, like, fashion big time, and he actually invested a lot of time and money into creating his own clothing line. So I don't know how much that actually attributed as well to him kind of walking away from the movie scene, but just one of those guys I would like to see him push out at least another two or three decent movies, even with the old crew for that matter, the way Stallone and Schwarzenegger are doing it now, just to kind of cap off his career on a good note rather than going out on some potential cheese that he might have thrown out last.
So for C-Money, Carp, Kebo, Trek, D-Ren, thank you very much for listening to the JCVD Part 2. See you next time.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Wrestling knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
Trending. TrekTopicsNetwork.com.
You ready, brother?
I'm ready, brother.
Brother.
To this day, we see them still having trouble adapting video games. And if I will say something, I
Resident
do like...
Evil.
No. Why you gotta mention that? Video game movies back then. And they still do today, to be fair. So it's a trend that's continued for 15, 20 years.
Resident Evil.
No, but no, that's...
Be right back. 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
Do-do-do-do.
He's gonna pay the rent with his mouth.
That sucks. There's like, what, 1 minute left in the podcast?
Yeah, we got to do our plugs, and he's like, I got to go. Yeah, like you said, he's paying.
This part is just probably recording right now, so he's going to come back and listen to everything we said.
Yeah, pretty much.
About him blowing dudes.
Oh my God,
so much penis in his mouth.
Whenever he, like, goes away, it's always about how he's blowing dudes.